corner.
Without further ado,
WBSM presents The Barry Richards Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Text us using app chat on the WBSM app. Now, The Barry Richards Show.
All right, welcome back. It is 107 on this Wednesday. Great to be back. I love my house, love my wife, but we were kind of cooped up for 3 days, you know, like a lot of you folks were. And it was good to get out today. Good to get out, good to get on the road and get back to work today. So many things to talk about. We're talking about the storm and your experiences with it. I said in the first hour, I don't want any people whining and complaining. My street hasn't been touched yet. You know, unless you live, on a main thoroughfare and your street hasn't been touched yet, you got no reason to complain. It has been less than 48 hours since the largest snowfall in recorded history ended. It ended late Sunday night, right? Late Monday night. So it's Tuesday went, not even 48 hours. And people expect that, you know, Tinkerbell is going to fly in and wave her magic wand and some pixie dust, and all of a sudden all the snow is going to disappear. It doesn't work that way. And I know we all think we are so self-important that our streets should be first. There are a lot of streets in the city of New Bedford and the city of Fall River, and it takes a long time to get them plowed out when you got a 37-inch snowfall. Fall River had 41 inches. So this isn't like a 6-inch snowfall where you got to, you know, where you just get take the little pickup trucks and go up and down the street and zing, zang, zoom, everything's all plowed out. This is a record 37-inch. That's folks who grew up in the east end of the city, that's more than 3 feet. 3 feet is 36. So when you get 37 inches, that's 3 feet plus one. Okay? And so that's a lot of snow. And So we're going to get through this, but it takes patience, it takes understanding, and it takes maybe even some cooperation. You know, I mentioned in the first hour, and I don't know how many times I've said this over the course of the last 10 years that I've been here, is that we have to stop this dependence on government. We see it in so many sectors of our society where people are dependent on the government for their health care, for their food, for heat, for subsidized rent, and for so many things we are so dependent on the government for, that somehow or another we've lost our ability to do for ourselves and even our sense of common sense. Okay? Imagine a day you wake up and there's 3 feet of snow out there. I'm not going to call Stan Lip on open line and say, "Stan, it's been 30 hours and they haven't plowed my street yet. What am I going to do? These bums aren't getting it." We either were patient or we went out and we did something. Mention the blizzard of 78. Those of you my age or older will remember during the blizzard of 78, we got out there. We knew we were waiting for the National Guard to come in and dig us out, but we went out and we cleaned out our side streets to the best of our ability so that cars could move or so that people could walk to the stores or walk to the next house and check on their neighbors. We didn't sit there in a panic mode. Oh my God, it's 30 hours after the storm, and I still can't, they still haven't plowed me out yet. We've got to stop that. Government cannot do everything for you. They cannot be the be-all and end-all for you. Government can react when things happen. Government can't stop snow from falling. Government can't stop tornadoes from happening. Government can't stop the rivers from rising. All the government can do is respond when it's happened. You know, much the same in, crime, or much the same with defending your family at home or whatever. You've got to be prepared to defend yourself and to take care of your family. Now, if you're going to sit in the living room and wait for the government, that's fine. But don't complain about it. Use some common sense and be reasonable, right? All right, 508-996-0500. Let me grab a couple more on this. We'll get into the State of the Union, too, but stay with us, and your calls are important. I understand we're back up across the board. 1420 AM is back up on the radio dial. 99.5 is back up on the radio dial on the FM signal. Great signal. And we are on the internet, and we are also on the app. So thank you to Frank, our engineer, who went out there and got the work done for us. Less than 48 hours after a record snowfall, Frank's got his back on the air. So that's fabulous, and we do appreciate it. 508-996-0500. Thanks for hanging on. You next on WBSM.
Hey, Barry.
Hi.
Where do these people actually have to go anyways? I don't know anybody who really has anywhere to go when the city is in this state. I mean, you really don't have anywhere to go. And I mean, I had to go clear my car out because it was, you know, plowed in from the plows, and I couldn't park on the street that I live on. But other than getting my car out of that spot just for the sake of clearing the snow around it was it. And then just leave it there. But I live on Green Street near Allen, near the bottom of Allen Street, and it's a one-way street. It's one block long, and I've been here for about 6 years now, and this is the second, maybe third big storm we've had, or storm that we've really had. And what's happened every single time is all the neighbors come out and we help each other shovel out. And we, I get a snowblower, and the girl across the street's got a snowblower, and she said to me, because no one was coming to clean the street, she asked me if I want to do runs back and forth with both machines to clear the street out. And just as we started doing it, New Bedford Municipal truck came up the street the wrong way trying to plow the street, and it got stuck, and it couldn't get back, it couldn't get forward, and it left about a 10-foot pile of snow. We took the snowblowers, we cleared it out so they could get out.
Wow.
They backed out to Allen Street and left a pile of snow beyond belief there.
Wow.
We took it all down, and we did the whole street, and neighbors came out, and we all helped everybody shovel, helped everybody use the snow blowers as well to help clean the street up, and we got it done without them. And, of course, you still can't get to our street because the adjoining street to it isn't been plowed yet, but regardless of that, we freed our street up as soon as we could, and everybody's driveway.
And see, that's what you need to do. If everybody did what you guys did, and then wait for that, you know, that larger street to open, then everybody will be good to go when it happens. And that's one less street the city's got to come in and do now. And I mean, that's the way things used to be. It was a sense of community where people all got together and they fixed the problem together.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of us don't talk to each other most of the time. We're always busy. Okay, but we had more fun yesterday laughing and joking and cleaning up the street, and we got to know each other probably better than any other time so far, you know, and that's the way it's supposed to be done.
And, I met,
did you watch any of that?
Yeah, I met two neighbors yesterday that I didn't even know lived in my building. One of them had been there a year, and her car was parked next to mine. And, you know, when I was done cleaning mine off, we shoveled hers out. And then another person came out, and we shoveled that person out. And you get talking, and it's like, oh, where in the apartment building do you live? Oh, I live over here. Oh, really? How long have you been? I've been here for, it'll be a year next month. No kidding. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about rolling now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, you make some new friends, too. But you can't just sit there and wait for the government to come and do it for you.
I know. It's just, and not only that, but they don't always do a good job at it on some of the side streets, you know?
Yeah.
And they take care of the big streets. They do really well. But the last storm we had before this, so everybody parks on one side because of the parking ban. They come down, they do our street one pass, and they get about 5 feet away from the curb where nobody parks. Well, that's another, for 3 weeks, no one's been able to park on the other side of the street now because they left all that snow there. And so that doesn't really help us much at all. But did you catch any of the hockey game at all, Barry?
I did not see it. No, I heard a lot about it, though. Yeah.
Oh, man, it was great. It was one of those games and where it was funny because the Canadians had maybe 6 or 7 shots on our goaltender before we got one shot on the other goaltender. And that one shot, the first shot we got in, went in. And so it kind of gave you a sense of where the game was going to be going. And that's kind of how it went. And they certainly outshot us. But the fact that they didn't really outplay us, because playing the game takes everybody. And we had a goaltender that played beyond belief. And he just stopped. It was amazing to watch what this guy did. And he just kicked everything out and threw everything out, and there was nothing they could do about it. They had a 5-on-3 for 4 minutes almost.
And Trump recognized him with the goalie with a with a medal last night, didn't he? Was it the goalie or was it the team captain?
The goaltender, yeah. Yeah. Hellebuck. I think it's Hellebuck is his name. Really phenomenal goaltender. And up until, even though he was one of the greatest goaltenders playing the league, he was not really, they didn't think he was going to pull it off, and he did.
He did.
And a very strange thing, now the movie, Miracle on Ice.
Yeah, which Michael Ruzzioni and was that 1980, right?
Watched that back in 1980.
Yeah.
Now the movie came out maybe 7 years ago. If you're watching the movie, Kurt Russell's holding a clipboard, and you look at the clipboard, and he crosses a name off, and the name is Jack Yu. Same name as the guy who got the game-winning goal. He crossed his name off, and he pulled the tape off of a locker that said Jack Yu, and it was a different Jack Yu from that was on the team that didn't make it from 46 years ago, and it was just very coincidental, but very strange. Same name of a hockey player, but 46 years earlier, that wasn't related to.
Well, it was great to see the members of the U.S. hockey team, the men's hockey team, come out last night at the State of the Union. And I know the media was all over, and the Democrat politicians were all praising the girls' hockey team because they weren't going to show up for the State of the Union. Well, they're going to the White House. They had other things already prearranged, and they couldn't make it to the State of the Speech. But the Democrats and the media misunderstood that as some sort of a snub to a Trump, so they were all celebrating him. But they are going to go to the White House, and they'll be honored there, and they're looking very much forward to it. Appreciate you calling, my friend. Thank you, sir. 508-996-0500. You're up next on WBSM.
Hello, Barry. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I live in Fairhaven, so you probably know more about the roads than I do. And I just saw a front-end loader, looks like an old construction vehicle, going to move the snow, which is what they did yesterday. I think the plowing, the problem with the plowing in a storm of this magnitude is that the plows are too low. In other words, you have 3 feet of accumulated snow, and the snow will go right over the plow. So that's why a normal plow is not as effective as a front-end loader. But yeah. I did want to comment about, you mentioned the last great blizzard of 78. I was a student at Bristol Community College at the time, taking preliminary courses to become a meteorologist, as it were. And I remember everything that you mentioned about that storm is correct, except there was a couple of things that were odd about it that were not similar to this storm, in that the timing of this storm was rather better for people traveling. It was much later in the evening, much earlier in the morning,
right,
when the storm started, later in the evening, early in the morning. Whereas when I was at Bristol Community College, we were able to get to classes in the morning because there was no snow. But it didn't start till about 11 a.m., and I left there about 12:30 and got home at 2 o'clock. It was an hour and a half, which normally took a half an hour to get home. And you mentioned the duration of the storm. That was also true. And I think the geographic coverage of the storm in terms of the amount of snow that other places in New England got were equally or at least close to being as large. And the third basic problem about the storm is everybody got stuck on 128 and a lot of the roads, again, the timing, but the coastal flooding in
yes.
places like Nahant and Woburn and on the south and north shores of the state. The tides were more unagreeable for that storm than for this storm. This was a storm that hit basically on much lower tides. So there wasn't that coastal flooding from that point of view.
Right.
So that's the difference. And the other thing is, and the amount of snow that they measure now, they do measure snow differently now than they did in 78. Back in 78, it was just an area measurement done once or twice a day. Now they do it four times every 6 hours with a snowboard, a 3x5 foot board that they put down in a specific area. They measure the snow at that 6 hour interval, then they clean the snow off, and then they do it all over again 6 hours later. So there's not the compaction of the snow that you would get if you were only doing it once every 24 hours.
Right,
so the
right.
measurement might be a little bit different now than it was then. But I would be interested to find out from someone who might be listening to you National Weather Service trained observer to give more insight into that.
Yeah. Well, you know, in a lot of things are different. I mean, we're talking, what, 40, was 40?
Well, it's going to be 50 years in two years.
So it was 48 years since. The technology was nothing compared. I mean, I think they were still cutting out little sunshine pictures and gluing them on the weather boards, right?
Oh, yeah. The radar is much more advanced now than it was then. The forecasting models and the computer speeds now, as you can tell with your own laptop or your phone, is light years ahead of what it was then. And the models that they have to use in order to predict weather are amazingly complicated. And if you were using the technology you're using today, would have taken a year to figure out some of the modeling that they can do now in half an hour. Now
I remember listening on the Friday. I think it hit on Monday, right?
Yeah,
I can remember on the Friday, I was getting ready to go out, young man, 20 or so, getting ready to go out meet my friends and everything, and I had the radio on. I was listening to WHDH, which I don't even think exists anymore on the radio dial. It's a TV channel too, but and I remember the weather guy coming on and saying, we are talking here potentially about feet of snow, not inches, on Monday. And I remember going out telling everybody that. Everybody was like, yeah, right, yeah. And then the thing hit. But I was working at Aponequit Regional High School at that point. And I can remember the week prior to that, there was a storm. And some parts of the state got snow. We got rain around here. And I can remember they had an early release, sent all the kids home, and the parents freaked out. You're sending our kids home? That means we got to leave work. We got to go pick them up, make sure they got so on and so forth. And it rained. So a lot of people were mad. So the following week, when the blizzard was hitting, you said it hit about 11:30 in the morning, the school said, well, we're not going to let anybody out. We're going to just let everybody out at normal release. Well, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when school got out, I mean, there were a lot of inches of snow on the ground. It was bad at that point. I remember it had to take me 2 hours to get home from Lakeville anyway, and buses were getting stuck and so on and so forth. So it's one of those you can't win kind of things, but we don't have the accuracy. We didn't have the accuracy back then that you do now. I can remember that was called a rare winter hurricane. It was an eye, and it... sustained hurricane winds.
That earlier in the show, and I do recall a specific interval here where I live in Fairhaven, in that we had a little bit of drizzle, and then it was almost like an eye of the storm, and then it snowed again. So we got like 13 inches in the first bout, and then we got 11 more inches in the second bout because of that little bit of an eye or eye wall or whatever you might want to call it. So you're right. I don't recall the wind being as severe. I'm using memory from 40.
Well, there were sustained winds I looked it up over the weekend. There was sustained. I don't have it in front of me, but we had sustained hurricane force winds during that.
Right.
And I think it was like category one status.
Right. Yeah.
Although the millibars, the pressure was down. I mean, it was way down. I know they said in this storm here, the millibars were about 900 is that sound right? And they said that was about
974, I think they said.
Yeah, and I guess that's equivalent to a Category 2 hurricane, although we didn't have the winds this weekend. But in any event, I mean, it was one hell of a storm. It was an ass whooping.
Both of them were amazing acts of nature. There's something you can't. You can only just stand in awe of it. It's amazing.
When you send Jim Cantore up to Massachusetts, you know you're in for trouble.
Yeah, that's right. That's the gold standard.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate your call. 508-996-0500. And I got to get a break. And stay with me. We're coming right back after this. Tell me about your experience with the storm. I got some good information for you on the expanding look at fraud here in Massachusetts with the EBT and SNAP benefits and all that kind of stuff. So stay tuned. We're coming right.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events like a date with my wife or going out together with my family and friends. Things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetDix. Every empty seat at a concert, a game, motorsports, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can help. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Find out how by visiting www.vettix.org. That's www.vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
I thought it was a rash, but my doctor said it was a tick bite.
Ticks can spread Lyme disease and other illnesses, leading to chronic health issues.
My brother was always having asthma flare-ups. A roach problem at home was causing it.
Allergens left behind by roaches and rodents are a major driver of asthma attacks.
When I had a fever and body aches, I never thought it was West Nile virus.
Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can spread serious diseases. Get the facts at pestworld.org. A public service message brought to you by the National Pest Management Association.
Maybe it was a family vacation. Or a school field trip. But there you were, standing in awe at a national park. We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today, tomorrow, forever. Donate at nationalparks.org/foundation.
So I have a mouse. No big deal.
Actually, mice contaminate food and spread disease.
Bed bugs? In my suitcase? No, our hotel was spotless.
Actually, bed bugs like any place there's people and cause itchy red welts.
So I saw a cockroach. Okay, three. It's no emergency.
Actually, cockroaches can trigger asthma and spread disease. Household pests are a health threat. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
How's Tommy doing now?
Much better.
You said it was asthma?
Yeah, he started with this cough and then he was wheezing.
That's terrifying.
Doctors said hidden triggers can make it worse. Things like dust, mold, and even pests.
Pests?
Yeah, droppings and allergens from cockroaches and rodents can seriously impact children with asthma or allergies.
I had no idea.
We're making sure our home stays pest-free.
Don't let pests put your family's health at risk. Visit pestworld.org to learn more. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. 1:30 on the button on this Wednesday afternoon. 508-996-0500 is our number. And just in from Coastline Elderly Services, all Meals and Wheels deliveries for tomorrow have been canceled. All Meals on Wheels deliveries for tomorrow have been canceled, according to Coastline Elderly Services. So break the glass, right? And I don't know if you've got a backup plan, a backup meal, or whether you've already used that or what, but that's the news, and we'll share more of that with you as we get storm-related information. All right, so State of the Union speech was last night. President Trump declared America has staged what he called one of the greatest comebacks in modern history, telling lawmakers and the nation that after just 1 year back in office, the country is experiencing a turnaround for the ages. When I last spoke in this chamber 12 months ago, I had inherited a nation in crisis with a stagnant economy, inflation at record levels, a wide open border, horrendous recruitment for military and police, rampant crime at home. Let me put the comma where it belongs. Horrendous recruitment for military and police and rampant crime at home. And wars and chaos all over the world. But tonight, after just 1 year, I can say with dignity and pride that we have achieved a transformation like no one has ever seen before and a turnaround for the ages. And the president opened his speech last night. As you can imagine, the Associated Press front page this morning, a fact check. And according to the AP, every single word that Donald Trump said was a lie. Everything's a lie. That's the media, right? So Trump challenged lawmakers to stand up if they believe their first duty is to protect American citizens? One of the most impactful moments of the night came when Trump challenged every lawmaker in the chamber to stand if they believe their first duty is to protect American citizens rather than illegal immigrants. He said, and I quote, "One of the great things about the State of the Union is how it gives Americans the chance to see clearly what their representatives really believe. So tonight I'm inviting every legislator to join with my administration in reaffirming a fundamental principle. If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens." As he said this, the Republican side of the chamber stood while Democrats remained seated, prompting a condemnation from the president. And he let it go for a long time. This had to be the most embarrassing moment for the Democrats in a long time. "Isn't that a shame? You should be ashamed of yourself for not standing up. You should be ashamed of yourself," Trump repeated. He then called on Democrats to end sanctuary policies across the country, saying, "That is why I'm also asking you to end deadly sanctuary cities to protect the criminals and enact serious penalties for public officials who blocked the removal of criminal aliens, in many cases drug lords, murderers, all over our country. They're blocking the removal of those people from our country, and you should be ashamed of yourselves," he said. He also slammed Democrats for having closed the agency responsible for protecting Americans from terrorists and murderers, referring to the Department of Homeland Security. He said, "Tonight I'm demanding the full and immediate restoration of all funding for border security and homeland security of the United States." Of course, those agencies, Coast Guard, air traffic controllers, TSA, they're all going to, I believe today, they stopped getting paid because of the Democrat government shutdown, the second one in just a matter of a couple of months, right? Trump knocked former President Joe Biden, saying after 4 years in which millions and millions of illegal aliens poured across the border, totally unfettered and unchecked, we now have the strongest and most secure border in American history by far. In the past 9 months, zero illegal aliens have been admitted to the United States. The flow of deadly fentanyl across our border is down by a record 56% in 1 year. He honored several angel families in the gallery whose children or loved ones were killed by illegal aliens. The young Ukrainian girl who was killed on the subway, remember that? Her mother was there, totally broken up. She was given a rousing round of applause by the Republicans. Can you believe the Democrats didn't even stand for her? The fact that the Democrats would not stand in support of Trump's statement that the priority of the government is to protect American citizens over illegal aliens. "One of the most profound moments of a truly historic speech," said Vice President J.D. Vance. "While some in Washington prioritize the needs of illegal immigrants, President Trump and this administration will always put American citizens first." Democrats declared to the world their searing disdain for and profound disloyalty to the actual citizens of the United States, said Trump counselor Stephen Miller. "They were repeatedly entreated to stand over and over. They refused. It was a moment that chills to the bone and which will live for 1,000 years, says Neil Monroe, who writes for Breitbart. "Zero Democrats stood for the foundational principle of all government that leaders must serve citizens before invaders," Miller said. "Never has there been a more stunning moment in Congress," he added. Trump trapped him, essentially. That's what he did. He set him up a couple of times last night. You remember last year, he said, "I can stand here and announce a cure for cancer, and these people aren't going to stand up." This year, he trapped him. And that was one of them. One of my favorite parts, though, was when he talked about the legislation to end insider trading. And yeah, some Democrats jumped up and clapped, even crazy grandma Liz Warren. Trump asked, oh, is Nancy Pelosi here? Did she stand up? Classic Trump. Several Democrats brought anti-immigration and customs enforcement activists, as well as actual illegal aliens and family members of illegal aliens as their guests to the State of the Union. Including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Senator John Hinkenlooper of Colorado, and Senator Seth Moulton of Massachusetts, who wants to be the next Ed Markey. So remember that when the primary comes and the election comes, you know, Ed Moulton, while the Democrats wouldn't stand for angel moms, Seth Moulton actually brought with him to the State of the Union anti-ICE advocates. Ilhan Omar also brought an anti-ICE activist who the DHS said attempted to obstruct ICE agents while they were arresting a criminal illegal alien. The person was arrested at that point. Rashida Tlaib, the Democrat from Michigan, wore a round button that read F ICE. She also wore a message that read, stand with survivors, release the files, an apparent reference to materials pertaining to Epstein. And she and Ilhan Omar sat and screeched and yelled and stuff at the president. I mean, that was, Tlaib has called for the abolishment of ICE. I think Omar has as well, but Tlaib said, ICE has no place in Michigan. This is an unaccountable and violent agency that terrorizes and brutalizes our communities every day. We have all watched as ICE agents execute American citizens in broad daylight and detain and deport our immigrant neighbors with no regard for their well-being, right to due process, or the myriad other laws and court orders restricting their illegal operations, she said in a statement. Trump called them all crazy, remember? He said, people are crazy. I think he's right. 508-996-0500, you're up next on WBSM.
Hey, Chris.
No, the name's Barry.
Oh, Barry, I'm sorry, yes. Barry, I plowed out the city of New Bedford in 1978 for the 483rd Engineers. There was an army base in Fort Rodman. Mm-hmm. And they called me up at 5 o'clock in the morning and said, you're on active duty. Get down here. And I said, it's impossible. I can't get down there. I can't even see my truck. And the storm in 1978 was far more than this. There were cars, there were streets where the cars, you couldn't even tell there were cars on the street. That's how buried they were. I don't know how they measure snow now compared to back then, but that storm was really epic compared to this storm. And I know because I spent 2 weeks plowing out the city in New Bedford with a 10-ton.
Well, we had a foot more snow this weekend than we had in the blizzard of 78. The difference was there were sustained hurricane force winds in the blizzard of 78, and that's what caused it, those huge drifts.
Yeah,
here we had some hurricane force gusts, but it wasn't sustained. I mean, for the most part, the winds were, you know, 35 to 45, maybe some gusts to 55, but occasionally they gusted over hurricane force. But yeah, that was a hurricane in 78. That was a
because there were streets where you couldn't even tell there were cars. They were completely buried. I had to drive up to the car and put a cable around the back axle and pull them out. And I had a police officer work with me, Sergeant Bunno. And I would go down to the South End Police Station every morning and pick them up. And it was a massive vehicle. It was a 10-wheel drive vehicle with a plow. And then and the rest of the Army, the unit went up to Route 128. And they spent weeks up there clearing that out.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it was far more. I mean, the city's not even in bad shape right now. In 1978, that you couldn't even think about going anywhere for a week or more.
Yeah, I know schools and everything were closed for like a week back in those days. But again, that was a hurricane. So that really piled up the snow in a way that it didn't happen. If we had this 37 inches of snow with sustained hurricane force winds, you'd probably see City Hall under snow and half the buildings in town would be under snow with the drifts. I know when I walked out of my apartment on Monday night to go see if I could find my car, there was waist high drifts and the snow was knee deep. So it was pretty... It was a pretty serious storm. There's no question about it. And I guess depending upon your point of view, if you're stuck in it now or if you were stuck in it while you were driving, trying to drive the other night or whatever, it was pretty significant. And there were a lot of folks that are still. But, I mean, there were at least 100 deaths in the blizzard of 78. Now, I'm not sure how many deaths there were in this storm, if any. And, there were people all over the place that were stranded in 78. And, the fact the timing of this came late Sunday and mainly overnight, Sunday night into Monday, most people were already home. I remember the blizzard of 78, happening, unfolding during the afternoon hours. I can remember my mother-in-law, she wasn't my mother-in-law then, but, having to walk down Route 95 to get home from Providence to Pawtucket. She wasn't alone. There were a lot of people walking with her. Both were significant storms, and I guess we can go back and forth, and this one was worse for that reason, and that one was worse, but both of them were pretty significant. So, all right, I'm going to take a break. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. 508-996-0500, and we're coming back after this. Stay tuned.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead, and have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA-acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
You know the national parks, but you may not know that they're supported by a strong foundation. A foundation for the future. We are the National Park Foundation, and together with your support, we are building a bold future where national parks are vibrant, protected, and welcoming. Today, tomorrow, forever. Learn more at nationalparks.org.
Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. It is 1:48 now on a Wednesday afternoon, and thank you for being with us. A lot of folks stuck in the house still, and I see wide open parking lot out in front of me here. A lot of folks are still at home, and you can understand why. Travel on most main roads is pretty good. A lot of it down to bare pavement, but if you live in the side streets. And you live in the neighborhoods. You've got to be patient because it's going to take a little while. By the way, Fall River has announced that it's canceled school for the rest of the week. Fall River Public Schools will be closed for the rest of the week. I've not received any information about New Bedford at this point, but if I do, I will get it out there for you. So, anybody see Al Green getting tossed out? And I'm not talking about, I'm so tired of being alone. Not that Al Green, but Congressman Al Green from Texas. He loves to make a spectacle of himself. He got kicked out of the State of the Union last night within the first 3 minutes. And the Democrats held at least five counter events. Bernie Sanders wasn't there. Ed Markey wasn't there, and a whole bunch of others. I think as many as 70. I've heard 70. Maybe I've heard also 30. So somewhere between 30 and 70 members of the Democrat Party didn't show up. They had their own little thing going on. And that's fine. And so that was going on during the speech last night. All right, 508-996-0500. Let me grab a couple more. You're next on WBSM. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting.
Good afternoon, Barry.
Hi.
You made it in.
I made it in. Yep, yep.
Yes, you did. Tim said, no way, he's going to want to talk about the union speech, and he's going to be at work, and I'll be doggone if you aren't. So, you know, I just wanted to say that last caller, gentleman caller, you know, Visitor 78 to me was worse than this because of the fact we didn't have the technology we have today. Do you remember the whole expressway? People had to literally walk away from their cars. They ran out of gas waiting to get off the exit, and people died. That was just such a whole different ball game. And like you said, it was a difference between hurricane winds and gusts. Like, right. We had the gusts. So to me, that storm, even though I was a teenager, I remember that. And this, I mean, I'm not saying like there wasn't problems on my street, because there was. But yeah, I just think because there were so many lives lost in that storm. And I am just going to say, what Mayor Mitchell, why didn't he prepare more with more backup trucks?
Well, I don't know how you prepare. First of all, nobody expected 3 feet of snow. If you remember when it started snowing, they had upped their accumulation expectations to about 18 to 24 inches. Nobody expected.
Yeah, 2 feet.
That's two feet.
But I thought he would at least have two trucks back to back.
Well, you only have so much personnel. You know, in your arsenal, you've only got so many people.
Let me ask you, Barry, why don't we have more employed?
Because you don't have more that kind of money. That costs a lot of money. You can't hire people and buy trucks to just sit there. I mean, you've got to, and you know, it's very difficult for, you know, cities and towns when they're going to get a snowstorm, they go out to bid and ask for plow drivers to come and help out.
Yep.
They can't find enough. Can't find enough people interested in doing it.
Well, my stepbrother used to be one, and he used to call it blood money, because he would work literally 24, 48 hours. He'd pull the truck.
Here's right the big thing. You didn't get paid immediately, because a government vendor has to wait to get paid. It's not like somebody standing there with a check at the end of your shift. Here you go. Thanks for helping. Yeah, so it takes a while to get paid. And
we got to fix this, because this is a broken system, apparently.
Well, you know, we don't often get 37 inches of snow. As a matter of fact, according to the mayor, this is the first time in the history of the city, in recorded history. I'm sure it snowed more than
recorded.
This back in the old days when the Indians were here. You know, I'm sure the Indians would protest. We had more snow than this at one point. But, I mean, in our recorded history, this is the largest snowstorm. So, you know, you can go winters without getting any snow around here.
I know. Well, I thought last winter was pretty warm. I really thought it was, honestly, last 2 winters, I was like, this is great, hardly any snow, but at the same time, it bothered me because I felt like the plants, the ground needed all that extra moisture. So, you know, you're damned if you get it and you're damned if you don't.
Well, that's it. I mean, you plan and, you know, you figure, well, we don't often get a lot of snow, and so we're going to put so much money aside. The one account that you can carry over from year to year, the state allows you to do that, is the snow removal account.
President Burgle, when he was President Burgle, he was on town, and I think the city council, maybe somebody else there will remember, can, you know, go back and do whatever research. But they decided not to put any money into the snow removal and the police thingy, because there's no police to be hired. And they said with the snow, he said, well, if we need it, we will always be able to put it back in. I guess maybe that would be through the ARPA funds, but we already used our ARPA funds.
Yeah,
so I wondered in a way if that's why we were so short on sand and salt this year.
Yeah, the ARPA funds, those are long gone. Those things, we weed through those pretty quickly. There's no question about it. Thank you, my friend. I got to hold you there. 508-996-0500 is the number, and we've got to get a break. We're coming right back after this. They stated the union address last night and promised a war on fraud after several SNAP schemes were uncovered in the Bay State, along with the recent whistleblower allegations that were broke by, the story was broken by Tim Dunn of the Boston Herald, and a very lackluster response by state officials. Tim wrote a piece this morning, I think it's up this morning, on Trump declares war on fraud during State of the Union. Yeah, it's got to be up right now. There's been no more stunning example than Minnesota, where members of the Somali community have pillaged an estimated $19 billion from the American tax bill. We have all that information. And in actuality, the number is much higher than that, said Trump. And California, Massachusetts, Maine, and many other states are even worse. This is the kind of corruption that shreds the fabric of a nation, and we are working on it like you wouldn't believe. Well, make sure you bring an extra small orange jumpsuit because, yeah, Maura Healey's kind of tiny, right? And we want to make sure that everybody is held accountable. Trump did announce that he is declaring a war on fraud to be led by Vice President J.D. Vance, promising a balanced budget if successful. That's how much fraud is out there. Trump mentioned fraud in Massachusetts just one day after sharing three recent Tim Dunn articles in the Boston Herald on the topic to his personal Truth Social page or account. And Maura Healey refuses to hand over personal information on Massachusetts SNAP recipients, including immigration status, to the Trump administration and the USDA.